child, I had a particular love for languages, and so at a young age, my mother taught me and also my younger siblings Latin from when I was about 8 years old. And so I grew up with a fair amount of Latin as a child, and then eventually when I went to seminary, I was introduced to Greek. And Greek is a whole nother world. It's with a new alphabet, new vocabulary, new words. But I quickly fell in love with reading Greek words, reading even parts of scripture in Greek. There's a depth that can be found both in Latin and in Greek. And today I wish to share with you three Greek words that are found in the gospel today. This gospel account comes to us from the middle of Matthew's gospel, and it's a very pivotal moment. We perhaps are very familiar with this moment when they are at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? They reply, some of the prophets, maybe John the Baptist himself. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And so I invite us to ponder just three words that are used in this passage, three Greek words. The first word, Christos. The second word, Petros. The third word, Ekklesia. So the first word, Christos. Perhaps this rings a bell in our minds. We hear the word Christos and we think the word Christ. This is where we get the word Christ. Now, when we think of the word Christ, we think, of course, Jesus, right? Jesus is Christ. Jesus Christ. That's his word. That's his name, right? Yes, but it's a title that he has. Jesus the Christ, the Christos. The Hebrew equivalent of the word Christos is Mashiach, Messiah. And that has a very specific meaning. Both Christos and Mashiach mean anointed one, one who is anointed. And in the Old Testament, there were very particular people who were anointed. Kings, priests, and sometimes prophets. So kings were Christos, they were Christs. Priests as well were anointed, they were Christos. And also prophets were anointed as Christos. And so when we hear that word, Christos, we think, yes, Jesus, who is the Christ, the anointed one. And to get a fuller meaning of this word, we go back to the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, when God promises to David that he will bring about a savior from David's line who will be the anointed one, the new king over the new Israel. And authority will be given to him and to for him for all eternity. And so this word Christos means anointed one. The second word I invite us to ponder is this word Petros. Petros. We can hear the word Peter from this word. We can hear the name Peter. When Simon confesses, you are the Christos, you are the Son of God, Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. And I say to you, you are Petros. And it's very interesting because Jesus does a play on words in the Greek, because the word for rock in Greek is the word Petra. It's a feminine word. However, Jesus takes that word and makes it into a name. He says, you are Petros. It's almost like he is saying, you are Rocky. It's like a nickname. You are the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my ekklesia, our third word, our third Greek word. Ekklesia, oftentimes when we hear this word, we can think of the word ecclesial. They are related. We get that English word ecclesial from ekklesia. And this Greek word ekklesia means like a gathering or a bringing together of many different parts. And so, especially in the early church, in the first few hundred years of the church, when men and women would gather together, they would form an ecclesia, a small church. And so Jesus, for the first time here in the Gospels, he reveals to his followers that he will have a church, an ecclesia, and he will build it upon this Petros, upon Peter. Now we remember, Jesus knows who this man is. He knows who Petros is. He knows his weaknesses. He knows that he will deny him three times. And yet he still wishes to build his ecclesia upon this man. And he gives to him authority. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so we have this incredible gift of the papacy, that Jesus has founded his church upon, yes, imperfect men, but nevertheless, men who are given the office of being the representatives of Christ on earth. And so, through the centuries, we have the gift of apostolic succession all the way to Pope Leo, so that the church's teaching has never gone astray, but has always remained close to Christ. So what does this gospel passage mean for us? Of course, this means that we have been given the gift of the papacy, of Jesus' representative here on earth. But also in a very real way, these three Greek words apply to each and every one of us. First of all, each and every one of us have become a Christos, an anointed one. In the moment of our baptism, we were anointed with Holy Chrism. And when we were confirmed, we received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, so that we were anointed by God, marked and consecrated for the sake of God. Like Jesus and like kings and prophets and priests, we have received the gift of an anointing. Why have we been given this to us? Because God wants to make each and every one of us into a Petros, a rock. God gave the duty of being the foundation stone to all of the apostles and to the popes. But he wishes to make each and every one of us living stones that build up his ecclesia. And so, as St. Paul writes to us in his letters, each and every one of us are called to be members of Christ, members of his church, with Christ as his head, as its head, and we its living stones. Finally, we are all called to be the ecclesia. Oftentimes, when we think of the church, we think of course, the physical building of a church. We think of St. Philip's, perhaps, or even when we think of the church, we think of our cathedral, St. Thomas More. Or perhaps even we think of the church as the Vatican, St. Peter's Basilica. That's the church, right? Yes, but the church is even more. Even if St. Peter's Basilica was destroyed, even if St. Philip's church was to come down, Jesus' church would still exist. You and I are members of his ecclesia, living stones to be built up into a beautiful basilica of his church. Each and every one of us are called and anointed to be a Petros, one who is, yes, imperfect, but God uses as his instrument of grace to build up his church on earth so that we can enjoy the fullness of the church in heaven. Mm-hmm.